keeping God. Come on, raise your hands and sing that. Yahweh, the covenant keeping God. How many believe that to be true? Yahweh, the covenant keeping God. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you believe that to be true in this room? Lord, you're never gonna leave me. You're never gonna forsake me. Come on, he has excellent power and greatness. Come on, somebody worship your King of Kings. Yes, Jesus.
Be distracted, even in the distraction. I will trust the one who's greater than the storm. I will trust the one who's greater than the storm. I
every hand lifted right now. He's in the room. I don't know what you're waiting for. He's here right now. If you need a breakthrough, why don't you lift up your hands? God, I need you, Lord. God, you know my situation. God, I'm asking right now, Lord. God, you would come down and touch me. Come on, every hand, every voice lifted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has been too good to me for me to stay silent. I can't sit there on a pew and do nothing because my God is alive and he's in this place right now. Every voice lifted. Jesus, right now. Right now, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Come on, it's in the room. He's in the room right now. Come on, every hand, push. Push past what's comfortable. Push past the normal. Come on, we're not here to hear a cute sermon and go home and leave the same way we walked in. But I've come to leave change today. I don't know about you, but I come to leave empowered and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right now, Abraham. Come on, Lord. Come on. Come on, every push. We're not going to move on. We're not going to move on right now. God's here. God's wanting to do something right now. You don't got to wait till altar call. We don't got to wait till altar call to get our breakthrough. But right now, you can get your breakthrough right now. I wonder one more time if every hand lifted, every mind in one mind in one accord, if we would get our eyes focused on you right now. In the name of Jesus, let it be done. In the name of Jesus, right now, God. God, do what you have planned, God. God, we're ready for you, Lord. Do not pass me by, Lord. Do not pass me by. God, I'm here right now. God, I'm ready to receive, Lord, whatever you have for me. In the name of Jesus. Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Oh, clap all your hands, every person, and shout, and shout, and shout unto God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you. God, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. God, you're beautiful. Awesome and powerful. There's nobody like our God. There's none like you, Lord. There's none beside you, Lord. God, you stand alone on the throne. Oh, God, you've been way too good to me for me to be silent. I thank you, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God. I thank you, mighty God. Come on. I don't know why you're waiting. I don't know why you're standing there. We're not moving on. We're not moving. I don't know why. We're still sitting there waiting for something. God is in this place right now. God is one. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. God wants to change somebody's heart. God wants to push past protocol. God wants to push past what we have planned. Forget about your plans right now and worship the King of Kings. Forget about everything else right now and worship God right now.
Thank you.
everybody locked in right now. There's something moving. There's something stirring in this house. There's something stirring in this house right now. You better get a hold of it right now. There's a breakthrough in this house right now. You just got to reach out and grab it. It's so close. It's right there. If you would step out in faith, if you would lay your pride aside, lay aside your flesh and reach for it. It's right there. Thank you. put your hand on your neighbor right now. Every hand lifted. One more time, we're going to pray. Every hand lifted. Every eye closed. Don't worry about your neighbor right now. Every hand lifted. God, right now, Lord, I'm asking, God. God, every person that is in this house, God, that you would touch, God. God, every person that needs a breakthrough. God, any healings, God, that any needs. God, I know you see all the needs, God. Right now, God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, God, that you would be a deliverer right now, God. Lord, that you would break every chain, God. Take every scale off every eye, God. God, I pray that you unharden the hearts, God. God, uncallous the callous right now, God. God, touch every mind, God. Every heart, God, every soul, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, let it be done. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. And everybody put those hands together and give it unto God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you're worthy of it all. Lord, you're worthy of it all. There's no denying what we feel here tonight. And it's not because it's a random Sunday. It's not because I'm preaching. It's not because Blaze is wearing the green suit. But it's because the power of prayer. If anybody was here last night, you would understand. We went further in prayer. We went deeper in prayer than we've ever had. We didn't set a time limit. We just let God move and operate like he's supposed to. The thing with the Spirit of God is that we can't capsule it. We can't put a time limit on it. We can't put it in a box and give it away. But it's something. It's the wind that blows. It blows wherever it listeth. And that wind blows wherever, and we're going to allow that wind to blow in this house. And if you make your way back to your seats. And one more time, hand clap to praise unto Jesus. Have your Bibles. I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew 15. While you're turning there, I'd like to give honor to Pastor Clutter and his family and the great saints of God today. And this worship team did a wonderful job ushering us into the presence of God. I'm so thankful for all that they do and the hard work they put in. And I give honor to my parents. I would not be here today without their prayers and without all they have done. It won't be long today, but I feel I have a word for this church today, being in prayer all week, fasting for today, and asking God to give me a word for this service, to feel how what he wants me to say. So I believe I have a word from the Lord today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and if you're able to stand for the reading of the word, starting in verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1, Matthew 15, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then came Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now skipping down to verse 7, the Bible says, Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. And if you lay your Bibles down, we're going to pray one more time. And I'm asking that this prayer wouldn't be just a normal prayer where we pray every time, but I'm asking that every person would lift up your hand and we would all repent together as a family. Before we move on, we would cleanse ourselves, ask God to forgive us. In the name of Jesus, right now, God, I'm asking, Lord, search my heart, God. God, anything, God, I've done that was not of you, God, I'm asking, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. God, I need to be purified. God, I need to be washed clean under your blood. God, I need to be made right now, God. God, anything you have for me today, God, whatever the word is, God. God, whatever it is today, God, I'm open, God, to receive it, God. God, cleanse me, Lord, so I can have enough room, God, that to allow your word, God, to be planted in me, God, that could be rooted up, God. And in the name of Jesus, I'm praying, God, that your anointing would be in this house, God. God, ever so strongly, God, if I've ever needed your anointing, God. God, I'm praying right now, God, anoint my lips, anoint my words, God. God, touch the remainder of this service, God. God, we put it in your hands, God. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. And every hand clap together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 And you may be seated in Jesus' name. In our text that we read, we find the Pharisees asking Jesus a question about his disciples. They ask him why his disciples transgress or disobey the tradition of the elders. And Jesus responds back to them asking why they disobey the commandments of God. See, the Pharisees in the Bible, they were a religious group, and some scholars say they were around 200 years before Jesus. They dedicated themselves to studying the religious law, and they were highly respected by the common people, even more respected than the priests that were in Jerusalem. They believed that in order to keep the law found in the Bible, you had to keep other oral laws that were passed down from their elders and men before them. And one of those laws were washing your hands before you eat. And while that is good hygiene, and some of us do that and others not so much, the Pharisees taught that these things were moral issues, that if you eat with unclean hands, that it was a sin. The Pharisees were an important source of authority for the people in that time with Jesus. They determined what the priorities and the values were for the society. They were a very influential group of men in that time. And you see, our source of authority for people in our days has always been built on the foundation of the church, the Word of God. But it seems as someone who hasn't been brought up in church, brought up in a Word of God background, that the schools and the government has played that role of affecting what morals and what we were taught, going into school when you're young to your old. They prepare you for the adult life, teaching you good and bad, wrong from right and evil, and they teach you how to become, an adult. But it seems in 2024, the day and age which we live in, that authority has shifted. That the authority and the morals of the government and the schools have become so loose about sin. They've normalized sin so much in the day and age we live in. And schools nowadays, believe it or not, have kitty litters for people who think they're cats. Boys can use women restrooms, and women can use boys' restrooms. Maintenance men have to install woman products in men's bathrooms because kids are thinking they can use whatever bathroom they want. Where in this day and age we live in, kids are having an identity crisis, not knowing who they are. Kids nowadays can undergo surgery and become the opposite gender. There was an article where I read that a five-year-old got the surgery to be a transgender. A five-year-old. The day and age we live in, the world has shifted. Good is now bad. Bad is now good. But I'm thankful that today I can come into the house of God, where the Word of God is preached, that I forget about everything. I don't care what the world's saying. I don't care what the schools are saying, what the government says. I don't want to be politically correct. I want to be what the Word of God says. You know, this message today might not be politically correct, but I'm not here to please any man today. I've come to please Him today. Him and only Him, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to conform to listening to men that have this higher position and men that don't even have the Holy Ghost. You know, see, the schools may be teaching something different, but I know what the Word of God says. Sin is still sin, and there's no way around it. A woman shall not wear what pertaineth unto a man, and a man shall not wear a woman's garment. It is an abomination to the Lord. See, the Pharisees, they were more worried about the world tradition than that the disciples were breaking. They were worried, the disciples are breaking the tradition of the men that were passed down, but themselves were breaking the commandment of God. I don't care about the tradition of men. I care about the commandment of God. And in verse 9, the Bible ends with teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Another version says they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. See, they're going around trying to be spiritual, trying to teach, but their teachings were man-made ideas. And in the world, in the day and age we live in, so many man-made ideas are slipping through the cracks of our churches. Wherever you go, any churches around this area, you can see that the man-made ideologies and ideas that they're trying to Faye has slipped through the cracks of the church. The world is looking more like the church, and the church is looking more like the world. The idea of there being a distinction between the world and the church has been thrown out the window. They teach that you can wear whatever, you can dress any way you want to, listen to any kind of music, watch anything you want to, and still have a deep relationship with God. And while I may be stepping on someone's toes today, I don't really care. I didn't come to please anyone. I've come to preach. The Word of God says, be ye separate. The Word of God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There was a study done on this same denomination that says you can wear whatever, do all these things. And there was a study done that the ministers only prayed 7 minutes a day. They talked to God for 7 minutes a day. And they're the ones that get behind the pulpit and preach these man-made ideas. But not in this church. Not in this church. We still believe in prayer. We still believe in fasting. We still believe that the woman should have uncut hair. We still believe that there should be a distinction between male and female. We still believe there's a distinction between the world and the church. I'm not getting a lot of people clapping, but I don't care, because I know what the Word of God says. I don't care what the world's saying. I don't care what the world's saying. It's not a burden for me to dress the way I want to. It's not a burden for me to be different when I go to the grocery store or when I'm at school and everybody else is dressing and talking. It's not a burden for me. I like to be different. It was God's will that we are separated from the world. But we've come with our man-made ideas and say, anybody can be whoever they want to be. You can wear whatever you want to be and still get to heaven. You can talk however you want to and still make it to heaven. But the Word of God is very clear. God is a jealous God. The Lord has made, and for Timothy it talks about unmodest dress. And if there's something, if the Bible's talking about unmodest, immodest dress, there's something as modest apparel. Okay, we have to understand that there is immodest and modest apparel. They missed the whole point of Jesus being with them. Instead of joining the disciples, they held on to their traditions that were passed down from men that didn't even know who Jesus was. And sometimes we come into church and we completely miss God. We come into a Sunday service. I go to 10 a.m. class. I get out. We go shake our hands. We get our cup of coffee. Give our hugs. We say our greetings to everybody. And then we come in here. We chat. The video goes up. Pre-service prayer happens. Three people are up here praying. And then we wonder why there's not a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We get up here, we go through protocol, we listen to three songs, offering and announcements, another song, the preached word of God, a 10-minute altar call, and then we leave the same way we walked in. We come in, and we've got this idea that we've put a time limit, we put a box around God, where we get more excited about fellowshipping before church than pre-service prayer. It scares me when I see more people at a cookout than Saturday night family prayer. There's so many people that, and I'm not against cookouts. I'm not against fellowship. I'll be the first one to the cookout. I'll be the first one in line to get food. But I'll tell you what, it scares me when people are more worried what's taking place after than in the service right now. Because I'll tell you right now, food and fellowship ain't getting us to heaven. Food and fellowship ain't getting us a deeper relationship with God. But getting on my knees and dying, that's why Paul said, I've got to die daily. I've got to get in the prayer closet daily. I've got to have a relationship. I don't care what my agenda, I make my schedule around Saturday night prayer. I miss prayer, I got something else to do. No, I got prayer this Saturday. Sorry, I can't go there. Sorry, I'm busy, I got Saturday night prayer. I'm not, because I've come to experience a mighty move of God. And what you feel in this house today is not birth off what I'm saying, but it is because of prayer and fasting, and because we're all getting involved in worshiping, he inhabits the praises of. I wish somebody would praise God right now. I wish somebody would lift up the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would praise God. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout. I wish somebody would have a shout in this house. I wish somebody would shout right now with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Judas in Scripture was someone who lost sight of what really mattered. In John 12, 5 through 8, the Bible says, Judas talking, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone, against this day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." See, Judas was too focused on the earthly things. Though he was a thief and was trying to take that, he acted like he was more worried about, we have to give this to the poor. And Jesus responds, the poor you have with you. Don't worry about that, but there's going to be a day where I'm going to be dying for your sins. There's going to be a day coming where I'm going to die, and you're not going to be with me forever. Judas was one of the 12 disciples, handpicked, but he was also the one who betrayed Jesus. See, because Judas's heart was set on earthly things, and Judas did not have a sold-out heart. See, Judas was around. He was around Jesus. He was doing the work of a disciple, but he had an heart issue. See, he came around Jesus, his teachings. Jesus got up and he sat in the back. He heard all these teachings. He heard everything. He was a disciple. He went and preached. But there was something on the inside of Judas that was not aligned with Jesus. And just because we come into the presence of God, just because I show up on Sunday, just because I clap my hands when the preacher says a good point, I clap my hands when the music's going good, doesn't mean that our heart is right. But God would rather someone get on this altar today and die out to their flesh. It's the spirit of John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. I must get as low as I can. I must get as low as possible, because it's not about me. I didn't come to church to be about me, but I've come with an expectation that God is going to move, that there is going to be a breakthrough. The Bible still says that the miracle, signs, and wonders shall follow them that believe. I believe there could be a miracle in this house right now. I believe somebody could be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, I'm glad I got 50% of y'all, but I wonder if I had 100%. I wonder if I had all the faith in this house, what the Lord could do. That's why Jesus said in verse 8 of Matthew 15, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men." And that word vain means empty, worthless, nothing. But how many times do we come into the house of God with empty worship? Where we just worship because everybody else is doing it. Because I know that if I don't lift my hand, I'm going to look like a sinner. But Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinners to repentance. He doesn't care what it looks like, but as long as you're giving him all your praise. No fake praise. No half-hearted praise, but all of my praise. I've come to give Jesus 100% of me. I've come to give Jesus all of my praise today. It is not the will of God for you to walk out the same way you came in. But it is the will of God for someone to say, God, I'm selling out. God, I'm buying this truth, and I'm not looking back. Lord, I'm submitting to the word of God. God, if the word of God says it, I'll do it. If the word of God says it, I'll do it, God. God, whatever I need to strip away, lay aside every weight and every sin. God, what's weighing me down today, Lord? God, I'll lay it aside, God. God, because I'm hungry for a breakthrough. I'm hungry for more of you. In prayer, God began to deal with me that there are so many heart issues. There's so many people that honor him with their mouth and honor praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And the Lord convicted me, and the verse came into my mind, lay aside every weight and every sin. And I thought I was, you know, I'm doing my best every day. Everybody, can I get an amen? I'm trying to do my best every day to live a righteous life. And I'm trying my best every day, and I've been laying things down. But the Lord began to deal with me on laying aside something. And I would never think, you know, it wasn't something that was causing me to fall, but it was something that was holding me back. And the Lord began to convict me and strip things from me. And some of us don't like conviction. Some of us don't like when we're praying at the altar, God, I want more of you. Lord, more of you, less of me. God says, I want that. And then you say, ooh, I don't know if I can give you that, Lord. God, I'm pretty complacent where I am. I can feel you every other Sunday. But Lord, I don't know if you could take that, Lord. God, I want more of you. God, I need to go deeper, Lord. God, I can't keep being stagnant. Well, give me this. Then we step. Lord, I can't, Lord. God, you know that's my favorite movie. God, you know that's my favorite TV show, Lord. You know that. But if we would lay aside every weight and every sin, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen if we would lay aside every weight and every sin and we would say, God, what is it in my life? God, what do you want to take from me? God, I'll allow you to take it. God, convict me, Lord. God, because I'd rather make it to heaven, God, with nothing on this earth, because the earth is going to pass away. But there is a treasure up in heaven. There's something our minds can't even comprehend up in heaven, but we're so caught up on the earthly things. Preacher, you're a little wild. Preacher, I don't know if you got to do all that. Preacher, you can get crazy, but I'm just not emotional. God knows my heart. You're preaching about a heart today, River. He knows my heart. I'm just not emotional. But I can guarantee if I wrote you a check for $1 million. Michigan scores. Whoa! Michigan, yay! But when we get into the house of God, pastor says, every hand lifted, and the word is, pastor's preaching about holiness. But where are my true worshipers at in the house? God's been too good to me. God has been too good to me for me to sit on a pew. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. When I think about the goodness of God and all that he's done, he's been too good to me for me to stay silent, for me to sit on a pew and just come and give pastor my time. But there is something deeper. The Lord is wanting to draw someone out of their complacency. The Lord is wanting to draw someone out of their pew where they sit. But if someone would get the revelation today that I've got to do more, I got to give God more of myself. I give myself away so you can use me, Lord. God, it's not about me. It's not about me, Lord, but it's about you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're worthy, God. God, you're worthy. You're mighty. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Bible still says in Matthew 6:19-21, lay not up yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Judas had this problem. He was searching for money, searching for worldly treasure, searching for worldly gain, but it ended up him selling out Jesus and him hanging himself, ending up in hell. The verse says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Lord's come to search somebody's heart today. Where is your heart chasing? Where has your treasure been setting on? I've got to make sure my heart is chasing and is fixed on heavenly things. That the earth is going to pass away, the grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And all of earth is going to burn. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And if we've made our treasures down here, it's going to burn away. It's going to be revealed by fire. And standing before the Lord on Judgment Day, he's going to look back on all the work I've done. He's going to look back and see all the, have I been putting more of my time on earthly things, or have I been putting my time in kingdom work? He's going to look at all those prayer meetings I missed, all the altar calls I took for granted, But when I could have got it, made it right with God. But then I realized, oh, I was too focused on everything else. I was too focused on the earth. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be like the world. It looks so fun. But someone needs to realize today we have what the world's looking for. So I'm preaching to a young person today. You may think that you're missing out on all the fun. You think you're missing out on all the good things. And, oh, I walk into my school every day. I'm ashamed because I look different. Everybody knows that I go to a different church. But you're carrying something that the world, they need it. But if you stay quiet, if you stay the same, they're never going to know. But the world is just full of addiction. It's full of pain and suffering. But living for God is the best life you could live. Living for God is the best life. When you sell out, when you have a made up mind, I'm selling out for the kingdom of God. God, what do you want me to wear? God, how do you want me to talk? God, I'll give you anything, God. God, because I can't spend eternity in hell, Lord. God, I've got to spend eternity with you. Search my heart, search my heart, search my heart, search my heart. The first commandment in the Bible is, you shall have no other gods before me. And while we don't have actual pagan gods and statues in our day that we can physically bow down and worship, entertainment has taken that place of some people's gods. Entertainment has robbed some of us out of a genuine, real relationship with God. Joshua 24, choose you this day who you will serve. Matthew 6:24, the Bible says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You will cling to one side. There will be something on the inside where you're more drawn to. And while you may think that I'm getting the best of both worlds, I get to go out Monday through Friday, Saturday, and I get to do whatever I want. Then Sunday, the Lord will forgive me. I'll come into church. I'll slip up a hand. The Lord will forgive me. But the Bible says in Revelation, the Lord will spew you out of his mouth because you are lukewarm. You are neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. But God is looking for someone today. God, whatever it is, Lord, search my heart and know my ways, God. God, I'm done, God, living two lives. God, I'm done going to school and acting like, oh, I got to be someone else. But no, when I walk out Sunday, that's what I'm going to be till next Sunday. And then next Sunday, I'm going to be even better. And then I'm going to go and be better each and every day. No more, I'll start next week. No more, I'll live for God when I'm an adult. But living for God right now. I'm not going to wait till I'm an adult because my friends at school need me. I'm not going to wait till my peak age, but I need to live for God now. I can't be wasting years. I can't, because no man knows the time or hour. We are in the 11th hour. Jesus is coming back. And we don't hear a lot preached about hell or heaven, but it's real. There's an eternity at stake. And if we keep playing games, we keep coming into church and think, oh, I'll take a Sunday off. I'll let my neighbor worship for me. I'll let somebody else usher the presence of God down. But if everybody in this house would get a revelation that I'm not worrying about my neighbor today. I didn't come to church to go for fellowship. I didn't come to get coffee, but I've come with one reason on my mind, to worship the King of Kings. I've come to leave change. I've come to be healed in my mind, healed in my body. I've come to be delivered. There's no more. I'm not leaving addicted to the same thing I walked in with, but I know what my God can do. I know the God I serve. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it back then, he can do it today. If he did it back then, why can't he do it right now? Why can't he do it right now? Why can't you get your breakthrough right now? Why can't you get your breakthrough right now? Oh, because we want to sit there and go through the motions. But God is looking for a hungry heart. God is looking for some radical people in this house to be part of the end time revival. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or you showed sympathy, Hebrews 10:34. And deep concern for those who were in prison, and you joyfully accepted the unjust seizure of your belongings, conscious to the fact that you have a better possession and a lasting one prepared for you in heaven.
The writer in Hebrew knew that it doesn't matter what happens down here. It doesn't matter how much money I make, how many friends I've made, how I look to everybody else. But though my finances might be bad, I've got a treasure up in heaven. Though my family is messed up, I've got treasures in heaven. Though the world around me is in shambles, I've got treasures laid up in heaven. There is such a great reward in heaven. If somebody could get the realization that heaven is real and hell is even more real. That there is a heaven or hell, and if we keep playing games, God is coming to be back, and you're going to be missed. I say it. I'd rather make heaven by a mile than miss it by an inch. I'd rather ensure that I know for a fact. I'm not living on the line. Oh, well, Pastor, can I do this? Pastor, how long can I wear my skirt? Pastor, where can I go? Pastor, what kind of music? Pastor, come on, it says something about Jesus. No, but be ye holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be ye separated from the Lord. God's sick and tired of us being so lukewarm and looking like the world, but he calls you a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You were called to be separate. Separated from this world. But nobody likes the conviction. Nobody likes laying down that movie. Nobody likes laying down that app. Nobody likes laying down that. Jesus, help me. But when we start to pray, God, search my heart. Know my ways. There's going to be things that he wants to take from you. And the only thing stopping you from that breakthrough, the only thing stopping you from that miracle, the only thing stopping you from that deeper level, how good are you at telling your flesh no? How good are we at denying ourselves? But no, we live in a day and age where we want to be so comfortable. Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. Nobody wants to walk around uncomfortable. Nobody wants to be out of their comfort zone. But it's in the moments when we're uncomfortable. God begins to move. God begins to put his hand on you, and there's just something different. I want to be able to walk in a grocery store and people to see he's different. I don't know what it is, but he's different. I want to be able to go, and it's not because I want to look good, but there's a dying world out there. And if we just hold this to ourselves, if we hold all the powerful praise and all the prayer to ourselves, the world is going to be lost. But when's the last time you prayed, God, convict me? There's so many people that walk away from truth because the Lord starts to convict them. Or they get mad at God or the preacher because he's preaching the word of God and saying, preacher, you hurt my feelings, I'm done. Preacher, you're stepping on my toes, I'm done. I'm leaving this thing. But I'm not going to hell over getting offended. I'm not going to hell because somebody hurt my feelings. But I've made up in my mind, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Though he may take everything from me, though I may be so excluded from the world and isolated from everybody else, Lord, I just want you. I just want you and nothing else. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And there's someone on the edge today. There's someone living on the edge today. They're contemplating backsliding. They're contemplating giving up. And I've tried religion. But you haven't gave everything. One more altar call. Stop skipping altar call. Stop skipping prayer. But those are the moments. It's not the moments where we sit there and, preacher, tell me something good. Preacher, tell me I'm going to be something good. Preacher, say that I'm going to be healed. But then we come up here and I don't feel it. Well, you haven't even opened your mouth. You got to pray unto, you got to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Where's your faith at? You're lacking faith, but when you get a made up mind, I'm going to have a sold out heart. I don't care if I don't get it. See, and Daniel, the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar gives them another chance and says, if you bow down and worship me, we're not going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they respond back and say, we will not bow down and worship your gods. And if the wording there says, but if not, if God doesn't deliver us from this fire, we're still not going to bow down and worship. If God doesn't heal me and I die, if God doesn't do this for my family, if God doesn't heal my mind, but I'm still... Even if God doesn't do it, I'll still serve Him. I'll still give Him my 100%. I'll still give Him my best, because it's not about me. It's not about what I get. It's not, but it's about Him. God manifested in the flesh, came and on this world, and died on the cross for all of our sins. For you to sit there and be silent, for you to sit there and be quiet, for you not to tell your neighbors about the gospel, but we just want to sit there and collect and get saved. Oh, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm good. I'm making it to heaven. But when's the last time you got a burden for somebody else? When you got a burden, God, I know there's more, Lord. God, if Elijah called fire down from heaven, God, if you can speak so clearly to someone, I want that, Lord. God, I don't want to be so complacent. God, I can't be stagnant all the time, Lord. God, I need more of you. I need more of you. The piano player will come, just the piano player.